I'm David Lewis, Executive Director of Save the Bay. Save the Bay is the only regional organization that combines political advocacy, wetland restoration, and environmental education to protect and restore San Francisco Bay. For over 60 years, we've led effective campaigns to keep the bay clean and healthy. Today, we're preparing the whole Bay Area for the impacts of climate change, including here in San Jose. Join us on the shoreline as a volunteer or discover more ways to get involved at savesfbay.org. Let's create a resilient future together.
It's time to turn on the Shark Spotlight.
We're in the spotlight today with Sharks winger Walker Duehr, who was acquired by the San Jose Sharks on January 22nd, 2025, in a waiver claim from the Calgary Flames, where he began his National Hockey League career. Walker, I want to take you way, way back to the state of South Dakota, Sioux Falls. Not a lot of guys from the NHL from that state. When did you just get involved in hockey, and how did it happen for you? When did you get on the ice?
Yeah, I think I started around age 3 or 4. My parents kind of got into it from my older cousin, actually. He got put into hockey, and then my older brother followed him and kind of just kept the tradition going with me and got me into it as well.
So tell us about your cousin. Was he from South Dakota too?
Yeah, he's from South Dakota. He actually lived next door to me my whole life growing up, and like I said, he was the first one to get into hockey, and then I actually kind of followed his footsteps even a little bit more, going to the same college and whatnot. So kind of used him and my older brother as big role models for me growing up.
What's the hockey community like in South Dakota?
Growing up at my age, when I was in my childhood, it wasn't too much. It wasn't very popular, but now it's great. Like, they have a Division I hockey program in my hometown of Sioux Falls. They have the junior team and a great AAA program too, called the Power there. So it's really good right now, but growing up it was pretty much a different world than what it is now.
It's kind of interesting because states like Montana and North and South Dakota, close to the Canadian border, relatively speaking, compared to California especially, but yet it took a while for the sport to really take hold, and yet the weather is similar, the fact that you have winter, that you can skate on the pond. Did you ever skate on ponds?
Yeah, not per se a pond, but like outdoor rinks, like made by like the community or a local parent or whatnot. But like you said, yeah, it was strange. Like, we were so close to Minnesota too, and Minnesota's like one of the biggest hockey hotbeds. So we would do a lot of traveling there for hockey tournaments and camps and whatnot. So yeah, it was a little bit strange, like growing up, like being a bordering state pretty much of Minnesota and close to that stuff. So yeah, it was kind of weird that it took so long to grow in Sioux Falls, but it's doing great now.
But also the state of North Dakota. I mean, University of North Dakota has had a great hockey program forever. I suppose, did you follow that team? Did you follow any other particular NHL club? Who did you follow when you were growing up, when you got introduced and started falling in love with hockey?
Yeah, I mean, the Wild were on local TV for me growing up, and some Gopher games and North Dakota hockey games as well. So those are probably the three highest level hockey teams I watched growing up. But I think anything I could get my eyes on, I was watching. But those were the teams that were on local TV.
So what was it like when you first put skates on, you got out onto the ice? I mean, it must have been, did you go on with a chair like a lot of kids do? How did that happen?
Yeah, I think I had something to hold me up. I don't remember it too well, honestly, but my mom always tells me that I hated it, like I was crying. And actually, I got off and told her I didn't want to do it ever again. But like I said, I had my older brother and older cousin that were going there, and my parents were bringing me with, so I think I must have eventually gave it another try and ended up falling in love with it. So,
well, athletes don't typically like to run all by themselves unless they're a special breed and marathon runners. They like to run when there's somebody with them, so you have somebody to motivate you, somebody a little bit older that was playing the game of hockey. When did you start to realize that you had a special talent?
I don't know, maybe when I was around like 14 or 15, I started getting recognized to go play junior and stuff, and always knew I like kind of was a little bit better than some of my peers growing up in Sioux Falls, but that was Sioux Falls, and like I said, it wasn't too much competition there. So yeah, I think then once I moved on to college and, you know, maybe my sophomore year and stuff, started to get a little bit of recognition from pro teams and NHL teams. So I think that's when I kind of like really realized and really seemed real that I could maybe make a career out of it and possibly play in the NHL someday. So that was probably one.
Well, before you got to Minnesota State and Mankato, you played for the Sioux City Musketeers. So from Sioux Falls, you go to Sioux City. Of course, that's in the state of Iowa. But tell us a little bit about how you got discovered by that team. You kind of alluded to it a little bit when you were about 14. Yeah. But how did that happen for a kid from South Dakota?
Yeah, they have a draft. So I was playing in Chicago at the time for Chicago Young Americans U16 AAA team. And, they have a draft every year, and there was – a few teams I reached out saying they'd be interested in me, and they ended up taking me in the draft. So you still got to go to the camp and whatnot and make the team. So I did that. I think I was 15 or 16, 16-year-olds, I think, and ended up making the team. And that's when I got put onto that team.
But now you're telling us a little bit more about your history. You were in Chicago playing playing younger hockey. I'm not sure what level, midget, junior, whatever it was. But you were with the Billet family, I take it, or did your family move there?
Yeah, Billet family. It actually goes like a step further. Like I was the year, if you want to really go back, I was probably like 12 years old. Like I kind of alluded to earlier, there wasn't much high-level hockey in Sioux Falls. So following my brother and cousin again, they're playing actually. They lived with the Billet family in Kansas for a team called Russell Stover. And they had like a 12, 13-year team that I played for 2 years, but didn't live with the Billet family. Lived at home with my parents. I was still pretty young at that point. They would travel on weekends, either bring me to practices or games, and then following those 2 seasons with that team, then I moved to Las Vegas, lived with the Billet family with my older brother, played 16U there for my first year, and then the following year is when I went to Chicago and played my second year 16U, and then following that year I got drafted and then moved on to the USHL. So it's been quite a journey, and a lot of Billet families and a lot of miles put on by my parents.
So by the time you were 16, you were already used to not living at home, and that's got to be unusual. What do you think it was like for your parents to let their 14-year-old kid go?
Oh, it was tough. I mean, if you interviewed my mom or talked to my mom, that was probably the toughest day of her life. When I was 14, she left me in Las Vegas with our Billet family and kind of said goodbye for the year, basically. And that's 24 hours away from home, and I was starting high school, and she was kind of leaving me to – kind of go off on my own at 14. So, I mean, that was pretty tough for them. And, they had to give up a lot for me and, spend a lot of money and give up a lot of their time for me to chase my dreams.
Pretty amazing story, the fact that your parents were able to do that for you and probably sacrificed a lot more than even you realized.
Oh, yeah. Like, I know probably just, like, the stuff that I could see and, kind of experience with them, knowing all the time and money that they provided and gave up for me, but I'm sure there was a lot of things that, maybe on the background that I didn't even see that they were giving up or kind of thoughts that they had, like if it was worth it and whatnot, like what are we kind of doing here? But I kind of owe my whole career to my parents, and it's something that I'm still play for them to this day.
You're listening to the Shark Spotlight on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We're visiting with Walker Duer, Sharks winger, who is doing a great job with the San Jose Sharks. Walker, I want to go to the next step, and that is you're living in Las Vegas. You're living in Chicago. And this is another thing that young kids often have trouble with. When you go to a new place, all your friends are back in South Dakota. How did you make new friends? How much did the team have to do with you settling in?
Yeah, like when my first year when I was 14, it was kind of tough because like I went to a high school where none of my teammates even went to, so it was tough. I had my brother at the same high school, so that was huge to kind of have him, and you kind of just got to go out on your own and meet new people, and like you said, it was tough leaving back a lot of hometown friends and especially the family too, so you kind of just got to go out and spread your wings per se and just kind of meet new people.
Well, when you went to the U.S. Hockey League, you played in Sioux City, as I mentioned earlier, and you scored 2 goals in 49 games. What was the jump like to get to that level of junior hockey for you?
Yeah, it was a pretty big jump, honestly. Like, I think I was playing pretty limited minutes and kind of as a role player there as a young kid. So, I got a lot of development there, a lot of practice time, and, a lot of just kind of learning what it took to kind of find your spot in the lineup on a really good team and as a young guy. So, just kind of worked on small habits and details that have kind of helped me out throughout my career.
Of course, in that state of Iowa, that's where the AHL team for the Minnesota Wild are. And, of course, you being in South Dakota, you mentioned you watched a lot of Wild games. Were they maybe your favorite team growing up, perhaps?
The Wild, yeah, I think they're probably my favorite team growing up until I kind of got even older. And then I think I was Just kind of a huge Ovechkin fan, to be honest. So watched a lot of Capitals games just to watch him. So, but yeah, Wild was, that was my first NHL game I went to as a kid and stuff. So, yeah, you could say they were my team when I was younger.
For those of us who grew up with Wayne Gretzky, we're seeing Ovechkin approach his all-time record for most goals scored in a career. As a fan of his, wouldn't it be kind of cool to see it happen?
Yeah, I think everybody's kind of rooting for him, right? You always want to see somebody make history and break records. So, he's having an unbelievable year, and, you know, he looks like he's not really slowing down at all.
Who are your other favorite players?
Sidney Crosby was fun to watch, too. Him and Ovechkin, those guys were probably, like, my prime childhood, you know, playing my video games and whatnot. Those guys were probably my two favorite.
And then, of course, watching them play against each other in the playoffs, that had to be a big thrill, too.
Yeah, it was always awesome watching those guys. And then finally, once Ovechkin got over the hump, on the year they ended up winning the Cup, that was cool to see.
Okay, so then you go from there. You played in Tri-City. You played for Chicago Steel, Bloomington Thunder. You kind of moved around the USHL a little bit, but you got better, a little bit improved each and every year. And finally, you get a chance to go to Mankato, Minnesota, and play at Minnesota State. Tell us about that recruiting process and what the coaches and the teammates there meant to you.
Yeah, I started kind of getting heavily recruited for colleges in my, I think it was my second year junior with Tri-City. And, I started off strong there and had a really good start, and that's when colleges kind of took notice and started taking some visits. So that's when I visited Mankato, and like I said, I had my older cousin who was there at the time, so he's kind of given me a behind-the-scenes look and kind of a more in-depth kind of what it was like to be there, and it all sounded great to me. So I ended up committing there, and then going there was a great decision for me. It's kind of a pro-style program, and the schooling was great, but, like, you know, I went there for the hockey and the program and the coaches and, you know, the players that they had coming in. So I loved my 4 years there. The coaching staff did great with me, kind of developed me into the player that I am today. And, still keep in contact, especially with the guys from my class. We had really good teams and made a lot of history, so it was fun to be there.
Now, did your cousin just go to school there, or did he play on the team too?
He played there, so, yeah, we actually got to play together. His senior year was my freshman year, so we played together 1 year.
And who is he?
Zeb Knudsen.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about your look back at Mankato now. You played there 4 years. Obviously, you got an education while you were there. You said you went there for the hockey, but do you have an appreciation of the education that you got?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I took pride in my education, and that was kind of something that even going back, figuring out whether I wanted to go to the WHL when I was 16 or if I wanted to go to college, it was that was a big factor for me. So, my parents, I think, have a great appreciation for education, too. So it was a big deal for me to get my degree.
We're talking to Walker Duer of the San Jose Sharks, and we are just through his junior career and his college career at Minnesota State Mankato. I still call it that, Mankato State. That was the old name of the university. Now it's called Minnesota State. But then you get a chance to turn pro, and you weren't drafted. So during your draft years, did you pay attention to the NHL draft? Did people from pro hockey tell you that they thought that you might have a chance to play? How did that all happen?
Yeah, like I was on some of the central scouting lists for to get drafted and ranked and whatnot. So I knew kind of at the time that there was potential to maybe get drafted as a later round pick. It never panned out. Went to a development camp with the Rangers and stuff and did all that kind of stuff. But I always kind of had an eye on it those 2 years where I was eligible, but never panned out. But it's worked out.
Do you think that you got on the list because of your size? I mean, that's one of the things NHL guys look at. And by the way, when did you become 6'2" and 200 pounds? Were you 130 pounds when you were 15, or were you always a bigger guy?
Always a taller guy, but like you said, pretty skinny, even going into like my kind of all throughout high school, honestly. And then when I got in, I think my first year in junior, I was still pretty skinny, and just kind of started to find the love for the gym and, you know, really took a hold of my nutrition and kind of the off-ice activities for working out and stuff that really helped me kind of grow into my body and whatnot. So, I think that my size was something that was appealing to NHL teams, but, it was something that just kind of got me on the rankings for sure.
But you got to a development camp with the New York Rangers, and this is a relatively recent thing in the National Hockey League where they could conduct development camps, have the college kids pay their own expenses and come in, maintain their amateur status. But this was with the New York Rangers, an original six team in the NHL. What was that experience like?
Yeah, it was really cool. It was kind of my first taste of pro hockey, and Just getting to see how they kind of ran things there. And then, like you said, being in the city of New York and seeing their facilities and stuff, it was kind of eye-opening and made you kind of really want to get to that level even more.
So you go to Stockton, not too far from the Bay Area here. Tell us about that experience, about who contacted you for Calgary. Did you sign an AHL contract first and then get signed to an NHL deal, or how did that transpire?
So, yeah, it was my senior year of college. We were in the Frozen Four, and we lost the first game there, and it kind of all happened pretty quick after that. My agent and I had a few calls with a few NHL teams that we kind of narrowed down that were interested, and we ended up going with Calgary, and I signed a two-year deal with Calgary, NHL deal. But that wasn't that didn't start until the following season. So to join Stockton, I think I just signed an ATO and joined them, and that was kind of during COVID. So when I joined them, they were located in Calgary, the AHL team was. So I joined them and did my quarantine and whatnot, and then joined them for the last, I think it was like five games of the season. And yeah, that was kind of, that was one of my first pro games. And then the following season was when my initial deal started.
Well, you also played 13 playoff games that second year. You got a chance to get some Calder Cup experience. I want to ask about the transition from college hockey to the NHL. More and more kids are coming out of college hockey. It's a great training ground. The situations in most Division I programs are very professional in the way they approach. You can work out 5 days a week, play Friday and Saturday. You're going to school at the same time. But one thing that's different in pro hockey is you're not wearing a full cage, and there is fighting. How did you adjust to that?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of similar to junior, right? You wore a half shield and there was fighting in junior, but I think honestly the biggest adjustment was you're playing north of 60 games in pro, and in college you're playing, I think, max maybe 40, and you're usually just playing on the weekends. So that was probably the biggest adjustment, was not as much practice time to kind of fine-tune your game and get ready for games. So it was that was the biggest adjustment, was the amount of games.
So you can relate to college hockey players coming to the NHL and playing against the best players in the world and hitting the wall at a game, about game 55.
Yeah, I mean, it takes like a whole year to get kind of used to, and then going into your second year, you know what to expect and when, what times of the year you need to, you know, take care of your body, maybe do a little less or a little bit more stretching and just really taking care of your body. So I think it's a big learning curve for guys coming out of college.
What about the other factor? You have to cook your own meals.
Yeah, you got to cook your own meals. And, yeah, there's kind of a lot of nuances. There's just kind of off the ice living, and you're on your own, and just a lot of growing up to do.
Who were some of the people in Stockton that mentored you?
Yeah, we had a really good team that year. Like you said, we kind of had a long playoff run, and we had older players like Kevin Gravel, Byron Fraze, Glenn Godden, those kind of guys. Really tight. We had a tight-knit group there, and yeah, those guys kind of helped us rookies a lot that year.
It's an interesting topic we can talk about, and that is the veterans on the AHL team. First of all, they're all men, and you're playing against men in college too, so that's not exactly new for younger guys that are 19, 20 that are just getting into the AHL. That's a big deal. But what about the fact that everybody there wants to be in the NHL, and they expect that they're going to try to get to the NHL? And some of these vets have played in the NHL, and yet they come to the American Hockey League, and they're good role models, and they want to win the Calder Cup, and they teach you that as a professional. How much did you learn from that kind of humility that these guys have to have when they're in the AHL, realizing how good a league it is, but also being a good example for the young guys?
Yeah, like you said, it's a great league, and I think every team kind of has a few of those guys where they've been around for a while, whether that's in the NHL a bit or in the AHL. I think those guys are huge, just to, you know, kind of set the tone for those teams, and you know, to show the younger guys good habits and whatnot. So I think those guys are huge, and you know, like you said, everybody wants to be in the NHL, but AHL is still a great league, and you know, a lot of great players in there. So the older guys are huge for those younger guys' development.
That particular year that you played the full season and played in the Calder Cup playoffs, you went through training camp for the first time with the NHL club. What was that like? Was that an eye-opener?
Yeah, eye-opener, and, you know, kind of pinch-me moments. You're on the ice with some big-name players, and like I said, it was my first NHL training camp, so you kind of get to, you know, embrace the grind of it, and, you know, you're kind of out there just – you know, you don't have too much high expectations for yourself. You obviously want to make that team, but you don't know really kind of what would happen after your first training camp. And, you know, it's kind of maybe a far-fetched goal to make the team out of camp, but you just go out there and try to do your best and, you know, just kind of stick around as long as you can.
But during that season, you got one game in the NHL with the Calgary Flames. Tell us about the circumstances surrounding that and what you felt and who you played against and everything else you can remember from your first game.
Yeah, going back to training camp, I had a really good camp. I think I was probably one of the last guys for one of the last cuts. And so I think I kind of left a good impression. And, you know, I think they kind of had that going into the regular season. Ended up starting the year in the AHL and had a pretty good start. And got called up, I think, after maybe just a handful of games and joined the team in Calgary. And I think I kind of sat around for a little bit and just practiced and took in a few games and kind of just got to see the pace of it and whatnot. And then we were on a road trip and guy went down and I was able to get into the lineup and just kind of tried to treat it as another game, but it was kind of a whirlwind kind of game in Ottawa. And it was kind of still COVID lingering around, so my parents didn't get to come and nobody really was able to be there and stuff. So it was kind of bittersweet in that sense, but it was still special playing in that first game.
Were there fans in the building or not?
Yeah, still fans. It was just kind of the U.S.-Canada border crossing kind of difficult. So with my parents still being in the States, it would have been too hard for them to get there.
But what about just being out there for the national anthem and seeing the crowd that was there and feeling this is the National Hockey League? It must have meant the world to you.
Yeah, I actually got to start that game. So standing on the blue line, your kind of body's numb and you don't really feel yourself in your skates at all. And so it was, it's something that you'll remember for the rest of your life.
Do you remember anything happening in the game? Did you have body contact with anybody? Did somebody skate around you? Did you have a shot on goal? What happened?
I think it was pretty low event game for myself and our line, but I think I remember we kind of had a chance at the end to score. That was on my line was Milan Lucic, so it was pretty cool to kind of play with a guy. And even the following season, I played quite a bit with him and Trevor Lewis, two guys that have been in the league for a long time. And when I was younger, growing up, they've been in the league since I was a kid watching NHL games. So it was cool to see.
You're listening to the Shark Spotlight on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We've got the spotlight on Walker Duehr of the San Jose Sharks today, and you mentioned Trevor Lewis. He's got a couple of Stanley Cup championships playing for the Los Angeles Kings. I know that on the team that you're playing now, Barkley Goodrow's got a couple of rings. Jan Ruda has a couple of Stanley Cup championships. What about the experience that those guys provide to young players at the NHL level in helping you become better?
Yeah, I think it just, like you said, there's a few on this team. I think Toffoli's one. I don't know if he's won one or two, but... Mm-hmm. Spent some time with him in Calgary too, and just kind of seeing those guys go about their daily business and how their approach is to practice, to workouts, and then I think the biggest thing is them just bringing it every night and being consistent for every game. That's the biggest thing you notice is there's no teetering in their game. It's kind of consistent every night, being effective in their roles. So I think that's probably the biggest thing is just sitting back and watching, kind of watching how they handle their business.
One thing that's different between pro hockey and college hockey is, yes, seniors graduate, and yes, freshmen come in, but you pretty much have the same group of guys there together during your tenure in college hockey, whether you play there 1 year or 4 years. You do have guys coming back and forth, and there are some changes to the rules now, but what about the idea of being traded and having somebody's life totally turned upside down, especially if he has a wife and a family that he has to leave in a city he's playing in to go somewhere else?
Yeah, I kind of got my first glimpse of that just now getting acquired here. So it's something that, it comes with a part of the job and you hear about it and whatnot. So it's definitely crazy. And I think I've used the word a lot, but whirlwind is kind of the best way to describe it. Like you find out you're getting acquired at noon and when I was in Calgary and you're on a plane at 7 p.m. that night and playing in your first game the next day. And like you said, leaving family back at home and kind of just got to pack a couple suitcases and, just kind of really go with the flow and, see where it all takes you. But, it's a privilege, I think, to be in this league. And whether you're getting traded to another team or picked up from another team anyway, I think it's something you got to go into with an open mind and know that you're grateful to kind of still be in this league. So it's while it can be tough with some things and, some things aren't ideal, but it's still always a privilege to be in the NHL, I think.
Also, the suddenness of it. I mean, in your case, it was a waiver claim from the Calgary Flames. And by this time, Calgary had moved their AHL team from Stockton to Calgary. So, as is the case with the Barracuda, when you get reassigned, you stay in your house, you're still at home with your family, and you walk down the hallway and you go to the other locker room and you practice with the AHL team. But that had to be even a bigger shock for you, the fact that that you were going to cross the border, come back to the U.S., and you know, you're leaving your wife back in Calgary.
Yeah, it's, like I said, whirlwind is probably the best way to describe it. Like, I went through the waiver process before and went unclaimed, and then, like you said, you just basically don't really change too much besides going down the hall, and, you know, you stay in the same city, same house that you're in Calgary. So to kind of pick up everything and leave, it's a bit of a whirlwind, but, you know, I'm super, super excited to be here, and it's been great with my time here so far.
Since we're on the topic of family, why don't you tell us about yours?
Yeah, so I'm sorry, my wife. I have a wife who I've been married to for just about, I think, 2 years now in July. So we have a little one on the way. So we're really excited about that and really grateful for that. So and then I have my parents, obviously, and one older brother. And like I kind of mentioned, my cousin, too, and his mom and his younger brother, too, have been we're kind of just a big family and, you know, some extended family that are cousins are more like brothers to me. So, yeah, we're just a really tight-knit family. They all live basically back in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and some of them are in Minnesota now too. So, yeah, we're all pretty tight knit and just a close family.
How quickly did it get him to turn around to buy some teal, black, and white gear?
Not long. I think it was my second or third game here. My dad and brother actually flew out, and I think they caught the Florida Panthers game here. So they were out here, and my dad, I think he got to come on the followership too, so he got a little bit of Sharks gear, and then my brother had me actually just place a jersey order for him. So they're kind of moved on to the teal colors now and everything with that, so they're big Sharks fans.
Since you have a new arrival coming, I just wondered about the support system with the organization, the fact that people in the Sharks office, but also there are other mothers that are already here and know exactly how everything is wired. How much have they helped?
Yeah, all the guys have been great, kind of helping me out, pointing me in the right direction, but all the wives and girlfriends from all the players and staff, too, have been great helping my wife, Brooklyn, get settled in and kind of point her in any direction or answer any questions she's needed. And just all the staff, too, has been great, kind of helping us get set up, and whether that was with living situations or just, like, questions about the city, but it's all been really helpful and, you know, super grateful.
Right away, you got the puck into the net for the San Jose Sharks, and that had to feel pretty good.
Yeah, I hadn't scored yet in the NHL this season, so just to get one and then one with the new team in the first game was pretty cool, and, you know, weight off your shoulders, and, you know, it's always nice to kind of help your team to try to win a game and show up on the score sheet. So, yeah, it was pretty special.
Why don't you tell us what you think that you have as an opportunity with this organization, a team that's growing, getting a group of core people together that you're obviously now a part of?
Yeah, I think it's exciting. You can see it from afar when I was with Calgary, what they were kind of building and playing against them. They had a lot of good mix of younger, older guys that are really coming together here, and especially the younger guys, they, you know, a lot of skill and something that they've already, like, made their mark in the league. So to get claimed here and to get picked up, it was super exciting, and I think it's a great opportunity for myself, and I'm really excited to be a part of this group.
How do you rate the talent of some of the other guys in the organization that are pretty young? Macklin Celebrini, Will Smith, they're a big part of the future for this team. You're going to be a part of that. What does it mean to be with those guys, and how good are they?
they're unbelievable. I mean, watching them every day in practice, you're kind of, pretty like drawn back to see how good they are. And, you know, it's hard to think that he's only, 19 years old, Macklin. So it's pretty remarkable to see, and, you know, it's something that I can't wait to see what he continues to grow into.
Tell us about who you talk to on the team the most. Who's the guy that you have mentored you the most on the team this year among the veterans?
So like I said, I have experiences with Toffoli in the past, so he was kind of one of the first guys to welcome me and, you know, kind of show me around and answer any of my questions. So he's been good, and, you know, hanging out with some of the younger guys too off the ice and talking with them. So I think kind of everybody's grabbed me and kind of helped me out and just kind of introduced themselves and make me feel like I belong. So it's been really nice.
How proud would you be to be part of a team that gets back to the Stanley Cup playoffs and starts challenging for the Cup?
That'd be amazing. You know, I think playoffs is the best time to play, especially in the NHL. You know, you don't want to be sitting around watching it. And when you are sitting around watching it, you see how fun it looks and how intense it is. And, you know, everybody wants a chance to win the Stanley Cup someday. So, you know, it's something everybody's dreamed of as a kid. So it's, I haven't played any playoff games in my NHL career. So that's something that I'm really, really hungry to do.
Well, we know what's going to happen, and we also know that you're going to be a big part of it for the San Jose Sharks. And, Walker, I wanted to just say thank you very much for joining us for this time so that the Sharks fans can get to know you, but also wanted to wish you the very best of luck as a member of the organization, and thanks a lot for joining us.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
In his first game as a San Jose Shark, Walker Duehr was in the right place at the right time.
Back to Ferraro. He shoots with score! Walker Duehr right in front of the net. Looks like he might have tipped it, and that would be his first goal in his first game as a San Jose Shark.
Our thanks to Walker Duehr for joining us today. I'm Dan Rusinowski.
The Shark Spotlight is a presentation of the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.